day. Praise God. Thank you, Deacon Vic, for stepping in for Brother Ray. And we just thank all of you for being here, those who are online. We hope you're blessed by this lesson of Ecclesiastes. This lesson, if you really understand it, like I've said in the beginning, this isn't something that you use as a supplement. This is wisdom. We're going to even see that at the end. What Christians today tend to do that's wrong, and we're going to go over this some more because that's actually in this book, is we tend to use the Bible as an additive to what we think we already know. We tend to use it bits and pieces to the life and to the thinking that we're already doing. That's wrong, because your thinking, your way of focus, your how you want to do it is distorted, in turn corrupts the word. So this is why it's so important for us to recognize this is the wisdom. So you get this as the answer. So let's go over, once again, highlights, because there's no way I could do a review of this entire book, but we're going to see some of the highlights that we got a chance to see in this book. First of all, everything down here is meaningless. And the key you're going to see when we get to the end of this is I'm not supposed to add worth to things that are worthless. That's what Satan has us investing our time in. Everything down here is meaningless. Now, I'm going to show you what meaning, or God's going to show us where the meaning is really added to by the end of this. But you have to recognize that. Nothing is new down here, but he does say enjoy life. But one thing he doesn't say is try to find a life that's enjoyable. That's me living for the flesh. That means enjoy the life you have. If I'm allowing myself to get caught up and worried and upset, that means I'm being led by my flesh. But when I allow myself to have joy and enjoy life, you won't be led by your flesh. That doesn't mean you're not going to feel a certain way. Please get that, okay? The feelings are different than what you are. And the more you go against your feelings or keep your feelings in check, the more you're living in the spirit, because you're doing what he says. And that's the biggest part of it. I always said, treat your feelings as a thermometer, not as a compass. Remember, a compass tells you which way you want to go. All right. So if I'm feeling sad, then I act sad. That's wrong. But if I treat it as a thermometer, it tells you what you are in reference to what you need to be. Think about it. If my temperature is 103, I don't go, everybody should be 103. No, you go, I need to get my temperature down to where it's supposed to be. See how that works? So my feelings are just a thermometer of what I feel in reference to what I need to be. Going on, there is a time and season for everything, and only the wise through God get that. Only the wise. Now, all of us have access to being wise. Unfortunately, many end up being fools. Why? Because we don't take the wisdom of God. We go after other stuff. So we tend to make our own time. We do things based on how we see it and how we feel. We lean upon our own understanding. Everything created is from God and cannot be removed. Nothing can even be added to it. Okay? So everything you see down here, we formed into something, but it was already created. So there's nothing that's brand new. We have to make sure we recognize that. God recognizes the justice down here is wicked and the plight of the oppressed on earth. Now that should open up our eyes that he knows what's going on. And remember, I could do all I can to change the down here. But if I do it based on me, waste of time. If I do it based on him, the stuff you'll see me change or adjusting will be just what he says to change or adjust. Other things, nothing I can do about. Okay, and it's not meant for me to do anything with. It's meant for me to maneuver in order to minister. Do y'all get that? Okay, it's very important for us to know the difference, because we're going to have a lot of fights down here that we're going to think we're winning or whatever we're doing. And God's going to say, you wasted your time. Wasn't supposed to waste your time on that. There's a lot of stuff he does tell us that we're supposed to spend the time on for the oppressed, for the poor. We're supposed to spend the time. Some of the nonsense we spend our time on right now, God's like, you wasted all this time when you were supposed to spend it on glorifying me. Something to really think about. Our driving force for success is envy. And fools miss opportunities. So the success thing we have down here, the thing that keeps us doing what we do, the most successful people are driven by what others have and making sure they have more. And I hate to say it, we do the same thing. You know what I mean? What we get is usually based on what others have. commercials are so successful because we like to see what we don't have so we can have it. And we just envy. They make movies and things that way so we can see it. And now I want it. And we go after it. And that's not just in stuff with money. It's in how our relationships are. It's in where we want to go. It's in what we think we need. Our desires killing us because we give them that. But fools, on the other hand, like we talked about earlier, will do stuff not based on God. And then they'll go, oh, why didn't this happen for me? How come I'm not getting this? And all of it's happening because you're not following God, or you have no idea what you're doing. A fool is headed to hell. Let me put you that way. And this is why it's so important for us not to call somebody a fool, because they are condemned. Do you understand that? We have no business being fools. Christians have absolutely no business being fools. But unfortunately, many are. And they live foolishly instead of based on the wisdom God gives. We are to go to church to listen to God, not to offer sacrifice to fools. That's saying two things. First of all, it's holding the speaker accountable to preach what God is saying. You don't go there to feel good. You don't go there for politics. You don't go there to get hyped up. You go there to get what God's word is saying. So that's on me. That's on anybody preaching. We need to preach God's word, but it's for you to receive it. If you go there and you allow yourself to be distracted and fall asleep and elsewhere and all this other stuff, that's on you, because now you're allowing this thing to pull you away from what you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. And that's dangerous. When he says the sacrifice of fools, we've turned church service into this, think of it as a play or a musical or something. We come in and we just go through the routine. Some people have gone to church all their lives, gone through the routine, know nothing about God. There's absolutely no growth. Okay. And either because there's no teaching or there's no receiving. You understand that? So the purpose is working. They might as well stayed home and got some extra sleep. You understand that? Because they were doing the same thing by not receiving when they come in. God-given wealth and being able to enjoy it is a gift from God. I had one person who used to make the mistake of thinking, hey, how can I get this gift? You know, only some people get this gift. No. What God is saying is this is a gift offered to all of us. Do you understand that? So those who can do it have accepted the gift of God. It's just like grace. Grace is a gift that you have to choose to accept. It's not something he's going to force on you. Okay. So if you have wealth and you're not enjoying it, it's because you're not living in God. That is plain and simple. If other things are in there, it's because you're allowing other things to affect how you live. Plain and simple. If you're not living in joy, you're not living spiritually. It's saying be joyful. What's it say? Always. Isn't that what the verse says? Be joyful always. I didn't ask you how you felt. I didn't ask what was going on. It says be joyful always. But we put too much worth on the stuff down here, and then we allow our joy to be dictated by how we feel. Amen? Even though, once again, we're explaining this, not your feelings that dictate. It's Christ that dictates. So the worth and the feelings, dangerous. The gift God gave us is that we're able to go through a storm with joy. That makes no sense. That's why it transcends, just like it's peace, all understanding. And man cannot be satisfied, but he must be content. So knowing that man can't be satisfied, the wise person won't live to satisfy. Did y'all catch that? I'm not living to get all that I want, because I'll never get all that I want, because God placed eternity in our hearts. The wise man will live to be content. If I can get something, I'll get it. If I can't, I won't. Oh, well, and I'm going to enjoy what God has given me. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? I'm going to be blessed by whatever I have. Not, well, how come I can't do this? Not really want to do this. And then this is really terrible. We allow our desires to run us. Instead of us going, I would like to have that. If I can, I can. If I can't, life goes on. Do you understand that? I'm not saying you're not going to be eaten up inside, but once again, that's your flesh. Your flesh doesn't dictate who you are. Christ does. And we got to make sure we're in Christ. There exists a correct attitude of Christian in this faulty world. Okay. So we went through a series of different things that he's saying this world is going to be and is faulty. It's going to be foolish. It's going to be evil. And he told us how to maneuver through that. Hopefully you caught all those little things that we have to do. We're going to see some more today. Avoid extremes of any kind. And what he calls extremes is when I add to. And the two things he even used as an example, over righteousness. Now, some say, well, isn't that great? Those are the people that are self-righteous. In other words, the Bible tells you to do this, and you added this to it. You ever get those people that come, you shouldn't be doing this, and they kind of look at you, you know, over their glasses, like, you shouldn't be doing this, and they give you all this nonsense, and now they make you feel condemned, like they went to Jesus and said, you shouldn't be with those people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And there's a lot of that out there. And he was like, why destroy yourself? You know what I'm saying? Because that's destroying you. You're causing these people to stumble. When you add to God's word, you make matters worse. I hear you and your self-righteousness coming at them in your self-righteousness. That ain't for me to do. Mine is to help my brother. But he says not to be over evil. God understands we're going to make mistakes, and he allows us to repent. But you get some people that are going, oh, he's going to forgive me. You got some people that are just living their lives in total sin with this, oh, he's going to forgive me. You understand? He says, why die before your time? All of these things we have to recognize and know the boundaries that God created. Don't take advantage of them and live in reverence in doing them. Be very careful. Don't add or take away. Obeying government and standing for the right thing at the right time. There are going to be some things, principle-wise, that you're going to make a stand for. When I say principle, I'm talking about down here in the world. And it was great that you did it and pat yourself on the back and feel good. Well, God would say that was a waste of time. And there are wrong times to make a stand for certain things. Going back to what he said about the wise will know the right time. There are going to be certain situations you're going to look at and go, we got to do something about this. It's going to be based in God. Wrong time. Y'all catch that? You know what I mean? It's going to be things that are going to be, we have to recognize it. But the only way you recognize that is when you're in the Lord. If you're caught up in your emotions, you'll react in your emotions. If you're caught up in that moment, you'll run after the moment. And many people have ruined things by being in the moment. And you don't want to be in the moment. Some things that are allowed to happen make little human sense. And that's purposely done. Purposely done. He wants to see the people that will go and get stuck there. You ever see people, what? I don't understand. Now you're stuck. Satan's like, God, why? Because they're stuck. Because they added worth to the down here. Y'all catch that? They added too much to the down here instead of going, okay, and continue doing what they're supposed to do. Now they're stuck trying to figure out this thing they can't understand. And they mess themselves up. And the reason why they can't understand it is because no one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Anybody who ever wrote a book on life and let you understood the meaning of life, even though you're going to get an answer of the meaning of life, but there's a twist to it. At the end of this, no one truly can do it. He says in that verse, no man knows that. So if anybody ever read a book and it made sense, I can assure you didn't have something about it. I can assure you. There was a guy who wrote about how everybody should live. The problem is he left the people who live on this side out. They missed the people who live in the third world. In other words, he was talking about certain people that lived in his neighborhood. So if you read that book and you lived in his neighborhood and you look like him, made the money he did, had the same opportunities, had perfect book. However, you forgot about this person going through this. You forgot about this person going through the sickness. That book doesn't fit them. It's wrong. But you'd be surprised how many people read these books and go, man, that was a fantastic book. Only because you can identify with it. Amen? You understand that? And this is where God is saying, no, there's no such book. Because even the Bible doesn't give us the comprehension of life, but it does give us a meaning that we are supposed to have, which we will talk about. And all are destined to die, so enjoy the life given. Enjoy. If you're caught up in being upset, miserable, and all this stuff, you're sinning, to be honest with you. You may go, but Pastor, you don't understand. Let me explain. No, you're sinning. Because simply put, he's like, why? I'm wasting time with all this. There's nothing wrong with having discussions, going over things, but, and I'm not saying not to care. The Bible is not saying not to care. It's saying stop adding so much worth to the stuff down here. We overdo it. Does that make sense? When he says meaning, it's like we're spending time with your family. That's a nice moment. People die. That's a devastating moment. Disasters. That's a devastating moment. When you have a moment where you two people connect, that's a nice moment. All these are moments, all meaningless. Meaningless. They're going to happen. And if I keep allowing them to have meaning in my life, it will distort me away from the true meaning in my life. We'll talk about that. Amen. And life isn't how it seems. All go through what's called time and chance. I heard a minister this morning. And he was talking about there's no such thing as, it's not luck, but chance they'll take away from, and they'll call it providence. Because we like to think, hey, if I ended up here, it's because God put me here. Isn't that what people say? But then what about for those who just made the wrong decisions? Did they make the wrong decisions and God put them there? Boy, that's kind of confusing, because there is a right decision you were supposed to make. In fact, in his word, he even told the Israelites, if you would have done this, you would have gotten this. So if they weren't where they were supposed to be, then how would he say they could have been? What he's saying to us is it's not about the situations down here. He was like, I'm going to throw situations at people. You're going to make decisions, but it's not about the place you end up. Be careful when somebody says, oh, I ended up here because God meant me to be here. Now, at times, God will add times and certain things that are happening in your life. Absolutely. But he says, time and chance happens to them all. Just so I happen to be in this place at this time, I may be caught in the storm while you're in another place at another time. And it's not because, well, God meant me to be in the storm. And God, not always. What he's saying is, what did you do in the storm? What did they do when they weren't? That's what he's saying. Did you catch that? It's not about the situation. It's what did you do in any situation? Time and chance doesn't matter. We put too much worth in the situation instead of acting in any situation to glorify God. Did y'all get that? Okay, because that's the answer. That's the secret to it. We put too much worth in the situation instead of acting in any situation to glorify God. And that's going to be the big part of it. And last thing, wisdom is more powerful than power. But power is more, and it should be that more noticed. We love and are led by powerful, foolish people than we are by wise, weak people. Think about that. We will vote a powerful fool, which we've done over and over again, in office, and we'll overlook a wise that seems weak, right? In fact, I think to a lot of people, women, and y'all have to understand this, you're more attracted to a powerful fool than to a wise, which you may see as weak. Amen? It's the problem out there in which you, the things we look for, and this shows how distorted our flesh is, we want to be the leader. I've seen people pick some people, and out of spirituality, I'm going, heck, what are you thinking? I don't understand. But in their mind, they're like, now, make this person the leader. If I pick a motorcycle, it's not going to turn into a car. Do you understand that? You can't just make it change that way. If it's not a leader, it's not going to be a leader. You didn't even choose a leader. So why are you trying to make it a leader? Do you get what I'm saying? So we can't look at what we're attracted to, desire, and try to make it fit in God's will. Amen. So this is the thing we have to understand, that wisdom, when Christians will see wisdom and realize this is the right thing. It's not as sexy. It's not as attractive. It's not as what everybody wants, but it's the right thing. All Christians do that. You may not be noticed, but God will be noticed when we walk in wisdom, not necessarily in power. Does that make sense? Right. We got the one guy who tried to, I'm us right now is buying Twitter. If you hear the stuff he's saying, foolish. I'm talking about his stuff is way out there. But because he has so much money, he has a say. Some are even listening to him. Do y'all get this? Because he has money. Almost everything he's saying so far should make everybody go, what? Right? But because he has power, people will go, well, he's Elon Musk. Do you understand that? We tend to lose and miss out on what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to be. Keep that in mind. So now, wisdom makes life easier. Foolishness adds confusion. Now, this is another thing about that time and chance. This is where you have that choice. You can choose to be wise or choose to be a fool. You can live your life easier or you can live in turmoil. Your choice. Don't blame it on the time. You understand that? In every situation, there's a wise decision and a foolish decision. Your choice is what God is saying. When he shows in Ecclesiastes 10 through 15, he says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Now, that's saying a whole lot because he's saying we tend to do things sometimes with the wrong tools or the tools not in the right situation or without knowing what we're doing. Amen. We just kind of go for it. We kind of work harder and not smarter. Am I right? There's a lot of stuff we tend to do in the wrong way for the wrong purpose, looking at it the wrong way, not using the wisdom that God gave us. I had to learn because when I was younger, especially when we first got our house, I was doing stuff thinking I got to do this. You know what I mean? But I buy books until I realized some of this stuff I can't do. I tell my wife, we're just going to pay money or we're not going to get it done. You know, why do it only to tear it apart later? You understand what I'm saying? And saying, why did you do this? I knew my limit. I knew where I was at. Instead of me just saying, I can do it. I can do it. You understand that? Wisdom makes you stop and assess the situation. Makes you recognize, hey, this is going to take a little more. He says here in verse 11, if a snake bites before its charm, there is no profit for the charmer. What that's saying is, if my specialty is doomed by me, in other words, if I say I'm a specialist on computers, but the first few computers I get blow up, that's all people are going to remember. You know, his computers blow up. I could be perfect right now. I could be outstanding, but they remember those first three. You know, his computers blow up. Am I right? How many times do we remember when somebody has done wrong? There was a guy who makes food, and it's funny because there's one dish he makes, and he made it wrong the one time. We give him a hard time about it all the time now. Now, he can't get past it because we remember that one dish. Everything else outstanding, but don't give me none of this because isn't that sad? But that's human nature, and that's how people are going to see it. So that's why it's saying practice stuff ahead of time before you're the expert. You understand it? Before you go into business. So when it's saying, if they heard that this person got bit by a snake, because a person just learning how to charm, all people remember is, well, his snakes bite people. Well, no, he was learning at the time. Oh, I heard his snakes bite people. I'm going to somebody else over here. And that other person over there, what he did was, you didn't know when his snakes bit people because he didn't call himself the expert. He went through training. He went through everything. Now, a bunch of people got bit, but he wasn't the charmer at the time. Y'all see the difference here? Wisdom shows us all this. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. I want y'all to pay close attention to this. But a fool is consumed by his own lips. One way you'll know a wise person, Christians, please get this, is not just what they say, how they say it. If you've done something wrong or done something that maybe most may think is wrong, and the person, what are you talking about, fool? Did y'all catch me? Fool. Because right now they're making you feel bad. Right now they're talking down to you like you're an idiot. That's a fool. No Christian should never, ever talk down to anybody that way. Never, ever. Y'all catch me? And you might go, but it's common sense. It's this and that. And what are you talking about? No. But like he said, the words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. Even on their mind, they're probably going, well, that's stupid. Outside, they're comforting you as they're giving you the answer. Did y'all catch that? Now, I work in computers, and I have to get with people. I get with doctors at times, and sometimes they'll do something. And of course, in my fleshly mind, I'll go, and they're a doctor. But I'm sure I've done stuff, and people say, oh, he works for computers. Y'all see how the mind works. But on the outside, I go, no, that's okay. I let them know, you know, I mean, if you haven't done this, you wouldn't know. Here I am comforting them before I show them. That's wisdom. That's what we all should be doing. Christians should never talk down to a person. This is fools who consume with their own lips. So it's not just the right answer. How did you do it? Did you come away and just give them the right answer and make them feel stupid? Or did you come away with them giving the right answer and feel comfortable to come to you again? I want to talk to him again. You know what I mean? I'm learning and they want to learn. Are you that person that, okay, yeah, I know. I understand. I told you the best thing, I got to be on the other end of this because I have dyslexia. And there are times where things got confusing. So I'll ask the question. I watch some people that, what are you talking about? And they give you the blues and they give you the hardest time. And my response was usually, okay, I won't ask you anymore. So now here I am, and that's how we make people fall. I won't ask questions. How many of our kids are in school because of how they were talked to, and they're not asking questions because I don't want to look stupid. But the parents that teach them, you got to know, ask the question. Forget about what they're saying and put that in them. They'll ask the question. Kids can laugh. People can say, they're saying, I need to get this. No matter what you think. You understand this. So Christians, we should never be the one on the how. It goes on talking about the fools. Not only are they consumed by his own lips. It says in verse 13, at the beginning, his words are folly. So first of all, you'll hear when he first starts talking how foolish in the what he's saying and how he's saying it. And this is at the end, they are wicked madness. He'll just keep saying a bunch of nonsense and add more nonsense to it. A fool just talks. A fool has a whole lot of nonsense and they like to sound wise while they're talking foolish. It says, and the fool multiplies words. They just say a whole lot of nothing. Whole lot of nothing. Now, Next thing he shows us, and this is just another wisdom thing he throws, and he's going to throw a bunch of these in there. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? So in other words, I don't live for what I think is going to happen. I live for God, despite what is going to happen. Okay, now it may prepare me for what's going to happen. We're going to see that even when it comes to finances, because this gives us a thing in finances. But it shows me I don't live with what I think is going to happen. You know what I mean? We have these experts. And if you go back and you can go on the internet, look at what the financial people said. Okay, you may have one or two that said there was going to be a recession, and now they're going to feel like experts. But you go back to another time where there was no recession, you had two or three people say it was going to be a recession, and now they look like fools. In other words, it's a crapshoot, if you will. It's something in which people are just kind of taking a guess with the information they had, and hopefully it'll work. Do you understand that? He's saying people don't know, so you can take those things and say this may happen. It's like the weatherman, 30%. 40% chance of rain, whatever. They give you percentages, and that kind of gives them some room. If it didn't rain, well, I said 30%. You understand? They're at least covered in that same sense. We still give them the blues on that too, but we don't know. It also shows in verse 15, going back to a fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town. What does that last line mean? First of all, his work's going to weary him because he's not working with wise. At your own job, some of us are wore out, messed up, because you're working foolishly. You're overdoing it. Once again, there are people who are hired for something, and they're paying you for something. And you watch that person work, and they're over-consumed with. There was one person I worked with, and here's their job right here. And they were getting so mad at how those people were working over there. The whole day, I can't stand because they come in late, and they do this, and they do that. And I remember the one time when I got them in, I said, so how's that affecting us? Or I said it, how I said it was, I don't let bother me because it doesn't affect me. If their boss allows them, what's the big deal? And they were like, well, maybe. You understand? Because the whole aspect of it is they would come in and get so messed up by what other people were doing that had nothing to do with us, right? Or you go to work and you allow your work to overconsume you, you overdo it. Steps, do the best you can. We're being fools because we're allowing it to wear us down instead of just doing what you're supposed to do. Amen? Just go through it. You can only work when you come back home. I'm not saying you're not going to be tired. This is saying weary. I'm talking about when you just want to, I can't take it, and it stresses you, and anxiety and all this other stuff. There's a problem. Does that make sense? There's a problem. We're putting too much worth in the place, not in how we're supposed to be, no matter the place. The land is structured by its leaders. So understand what he's saying here in Ecclesiastes 10:16-17, it says, woe to, O land, whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. What he's saying is, a land is in trouble when they have leaders without experience. Did y'all catch that? A land is in trouble when you have a person that doesn't have experience. You may be gung-ho about them being a leader, but if they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're doing. They may mean well, but if they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're doing. And also when it says princes who feast in the morning, what that means is they have a party mind. You know what I mean? And the second one's going to add emphasis to this, but they're a person who's looking into enjoying themselves more than what I'm supposed to do. Does that make sense? They miss the situation going on because they're too busy trying to get enjoyment, not enjoying. Get enjoyment. But watch this. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at the proper time. And then he even gives emphasis for strength, not for drunkenness. So he's showing the land that is led by people who have experience will understand. Now, I know some people look at government. You have people that are government and they've been running government. And we say this, so they should be presidents because they should be government. Problem is, our government's corrupt. So they're just good at running corrupt government. But you put somebody new in there, they don't know how to run any government, let alone a corrupt government. So it's all messed up. So anybody who thinks, see, we put somebody new in there, don't know what to do. That's why everybody gets in there, they look all confused and they don't know what to do because the government's still corrupt. Do y'all get this? All right. So he's saying experience. If somebody really had experience in a godly way and came and ran it in a godly way, remember David knew it. David, he could have killed Saul 2 times. But he knew, well, this is one of God's anointing. Until God tells me to kill him, I'm not killing anything. Rest of us will go, here's my opportunity. I'm not going to let him kill me. I don't know what's the matter with you. We will go with our own attitude. You see how leaders mess up. They mean well, no experience. But the ones who also then, you could see it in how they manage their own lives. He says they eat at the proper time. You see them eating when it's time to eat. They're not always partying and doing, getting caught up in things. So the leader is going to structure the land. Now, if you look around, almost everywhere, everywhere in this world is the first king. Or actually, it is the first king. Leave it at that. Because either the government, whatever, is corrupt. So right now we have people who don't have the right frame of mind and they're looking out more for self. And that's a problem. Then we see wisdom for physical success. Ecclesiastes 10, starting in verse 18, it says, if a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. And what that means here is you can watch how a person is by the stuff that they own. Does that make sense? All right. If what they have is a dump, it's usually because they're lazy. Plain and simple. You understand it? Usually. You understand what I mean? Because in their, what they're supposed to do. Now, you have symptoms where people are sick or people run into certain things, but this is letting you know the evidence you're going to usually see is how they are or are not taking care of what they're supposed to take care of. And being lazy is very dangerous. It works in the job part of it too. So the working and working hard does pay off is what God is saying. Okay, those who choose not to, then you're gonna, the rafter sagging and the house leaking represents a lot of stuff in our lives, depending on how or if we are lazy. Then it gives this, and this is more of a, I always call sarcasm, but it's more of a hit on how foolish people may think. He says, a feast is made for laughter and wine makes for merry, but money is the answer for everything. Okay, now, prosperity ministry, love that last one. Money is the answer for everything. Now, we know if you just read this by itself, it would contradict the rest of the Bible. But this is more of a hit at, this is how they are thinking. When he says, remember, a feast is made for laughter. There are some people, now, Bible tells you, you're allowed to drink. There are some people that can't drink without getting drunk. Do you understand? In fact, they think it's worthless or even get a buzz. Christians, if you're getting buzzes, if you're going and you think this is how I have fun, there's a problem. Not just a problem, major problem. Because he said, no drunkard will make it into the kingdom of heaven. This is not what we're supposed to do. If you think the getting together with people, and if they are drinking, and that's what you're all doing, and you're allowing the drink to drive you, major problem. Don't be mistaken. You understand? Some will go, I'm really not drunk. Are you? Do you understand that? And that's the question we have to make sure. And that's what he's saying. He's also saying, wine makes life merry. Those are the people that depend on the substance to feel better. They'll self-medicate. I have to have a drink. How many of us, in order to wind down, got to have wine? Now, if you enjoy wine for the taste, but if you allow wine to be your medication, I have to have this in order for me to be, that means you're leaning on your flesh. Y'all catch that? You're allowing your flesh to dictate what you are. And because your flesh feels a certain way, is why I have to have this to make me feel, because we're living off of how we feel, not off of what he says. Amen? Once again, nothing wrong with the drinking, everything wrong with it. And then it says, money is the answer to everything. These are the ones that think I had more money. And they'll complain because I don't have enough money. Or because I have so much money, I'm going to lean on my money. So it's a way in which they're showing how the world and the fool thinks and how dangerous that is. So then he gives you other wisdom on the side in verse 20. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird or air may carry your words and the bird on the wing may report what you say. And the problem he's saying is the king or the leaders and the rich run the world. And if they hear you did something, revenge. Do y'all get this? So we might as well not. You know what I mean? If I'm going to say something, I better be able to stand behind it and be prepared to take the punishments that's going to come with it. Does that make sense? What is the worth in the comments that you're saying? Sometimes we make comments on people that are already in power and we already set us up. There was a person I worked with and his career stopped because of something he said about somebody in charge. And everybody knew that. So when you came in and he left, he ended up leaving, I mean, almost in tears, because he was like, I deserve to be moving up. And he did not. And even after he left, they were like, bye. And because of what he said, it went up. And this is so common. We allow our emotions to get ahead of us, and we may even be in the world sight, right? But that's the person in charge. These are people that run things. So don't do foolishness in those things. Now, wisdom and diversity of all kinds and hard work, especially with money. This is an excellent thing that if you went to a Christian financial advisor, they'd be able to show you this because this breaks it down. In Ecclesiastes 11, starting verse 1, it says, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Now, what does that mean? Because waters have flow and they have streams and they go different places. You know how they flow and they break off into different places? That's called diversifying. Now, you'll hear just a money manager, they'll want you to diversify just in stocks or just in, you know, the basic money thing. But what God is saying is put your money in different things. Do you understand? Because he said, well, a bunch of those things may fail. Make sure you have a backup plan. You understand this? He says, give portions to seven, yes to eight. Once again, diversify. He was like, put things in different places. He said, watch what he says. For you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. He was like, you don't know what's going to happen over here, so put some money over here. Did y'all get that? Put some under your, people used to put it in their mattress. I'm not saying to do that, but you know what I mean? So you may have some put away in a safe. You may have some put in stocks. You may have some put in housing. You may have some put in your kids. You may have some, and which you're like, if this fails, I have this to fall back. I know nobody has that kind of money all the time, but he's just saying nothing wrong. In fact, he's encouraging. It's wisdom and diversifying. And then he gives some basic things on if it is, it's going to happen. Don't put too much into it. He says in verse 3, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. You might go, duh, but that's what he's letting us understand. He's like, this is how life works. This is how things go. He says, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. There's supposed to be this wise statement. When a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, does it make a sound? What does it matter? That's what he's saying. He's saying, what is the big deal? Are we really now going to open up a book and philosophize and sit there going, I don't know if it really makes sense. You tell me. And we're going to talk about that. That's us adding worth to worthless things. So if I see a tree fall where it lies, yes, there is a tree. Let's move on. Do you understand that? And he's using this in many cases. And we see it, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. That's going to hitting people who procrastinate. Now, so, and remember, there's different versions of procrastination, but plain and simple, when I say I'm going to do something and I don't do it, that's procrastination. And he's saying you're going to miss out on what you're supposed to do. Now, I don't want to start any arguments because I know some people, what you think I should do it, and it isn't always when I should do it, or maybe it should be when I should do it. So be careful on that. Procrastination doesn't mean I'm not doing it as quick as you want or as slow as I want. It's one of those things. But if I don't do it, allow my procrastination to keep putting it off. You're right. Oh, I missed that. Oh, and I've done it. I've been there. I can procrastinate with the best of them and missed out on things in which I was supposed to sign up for this, but I missed it on this time. It goes on in verse 5, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. I don't care how deep science gets, how the body is formed is still a mystery, believe it or not. We can do things to make that act happen. We can put the egg and everything in a tube and then make God work again, but we can't form the body itself. We have yet to form the body itself. We cannot do that. We can distort the makings of it. We can't destroy the makings of it, right? The DNA and all that other stuff we can do stuff with, but we can't. All of that stuff, we still don't fully understand and grasp. So it's saying, why are we questioning God? Why do we live questioning God? You know what I mean? I don't understand the wind. You know what I mean? With all this stuff, and how does somebody say we're able to put somebody on the moon, but tornadoes just pop up? We can kind of guess where they're going to show up, and then they show up over here. We really don't have it. With all the science, we can't say it's going to show up right here at this time and do this. We can't do that. And that becomes a thing to where he's letting us know. He gives us those as an example of why are you questioning God? Just do what God says. Why are you questioning? Just do what he says. And then it says in verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening, let not your hands be idle. Watch what he says, for you do not know which will succeed. In other words, don't put everything Like you have some that'll go to school and they say, my degree is in this and that's what I'm going to do. That goes away. Now what are you going to do? You put all your eggs in one basket. That's what it's saying. You depended on that one thing. Some of us were depending on our money. Some people are depending on the spouse. Some people are depending on the job. Instead of going, I have this job, but in case I lose it, I have this person in my life, but in case they die, I have this talent, but in case it goes away, y'all catch me? Now, the simple answer is God will take care of me. Yeah, I'll take care of you by giving you the answer on how to take care of you. Y'all catch that? The biggest way God takes care of us is by giving us the wisdom to do things right. So in this, he's saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't go, hey, since I have this, this is what's going to happen. God's saying, no, it might not work out that way. You may not have a job tomorrow. Or you may have get a promotion tomorrow, right? You could be brilliant. In the field that I'm in, the younger ones, man, they used to, we want all the younger ones. The older ones, they push you aside. So you got to fight just because of your age. I never go in there saying, I am this, I deserve. Mine is God, thank you for, and as long as you allow me to. Does that make sense? And we have to have that mindset when we go into it. He goes on to say, whether this or that, or whether both, will do equally well. What he's basically saying, I don't know if I depend on this or if I depend on that, which one is going to work out? Does that make sense? Right? So even though you're going to school, you have this, always have this side just in case. Nothing wrong with having a backup plan. Everything wrong with having a backup plan to God. Nothing wrong. In fact, it's wise to have a backup plan in life. That's something you need to talk about. I know some people are like, well, how do you do that? And those who are usually going to be confused or missing something, we got to talk about. But it's a good question to ask, okay? And you make sure you want to talk about it. That's what he's saying. He's like, you don't know if this thing will work or if that thing will work. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. Even though that's not in the Bible, you see how we got some things that kind of fit that statement? So I just used that. Live and enjoy life, but remember, all will be brought into judgment. God is letting us understand you're going to have to answer for everything. Now, some people, we realize how grace works. If I accept Christ, all my sins are washed away. So some people think, even, and there was my minister who said, even the sins you're currently doing, they're just all washed away. Not necessarily how it works. You understand? And accepting Christ is a lifestyle, not just some magic word that makes things go away. Okay, that's a whole nother sermon. Please understand that. So you got people that are living foolishly and mocking God. They're like, oh, I said the magic word, and I'm going to go back to my sinful life. And they're going to be the ones that go, Lord, he's going to go, I never knew. Don't make that you. Okay? So understand, live your life being accountable for it. We see that in the Gospels. We see that in Romans. We see that in Galatians. We see that in Ephesians, where they keep saying, oh, you're going to have to answer for. So there's something to that. Keep that in mind. All right. So he says in Ecclesiastes 11, starting verse 7, light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However, many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. Stop there for a minute. So he's saying, enjoy how much of them all. So I have access to enjoy my entire life. My choice. Now, what he didn't say was your life will be enjoyable. Did y'all catch that? I have access to enjoy my life, but if I allow the life of men to dictate if I enjoy, I'm in trouble. This is why our generation and people today get bored to it, because we allow today to dictate us, right? I remember when we had three channels, and especially one of the, there was a fourth channel, but there was like PBS or whatever. Those shows were boring and slow and whatever, but I would sit there and I'd watch them. Anyway, because there was nothing else on, but I'd enjoy them. And sometimes they even caught my attention. I was like, okay, because mine was, I have nothing else to do. It's raining outside. I can't do anything. I'm going to watch it. Only to find out, you know what, Keith, if your mind was straight, you probably could have got something out of this a long time ago. Right? I'm just going to watch it. I'm just going to enjoy it. Why get caught up in, oh, this is stupid, click. Now today we got variety. We just click, click, ain't nothing on. Right? I don't know if the TV's dumb. Okay, never mind. So going on, and it shows us that it says, but let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. He didn't say maybe. He says will be. Did y'all catch that? Even though he says enjoy your entire life, he's like, you're going to go through some dark times. So what is that saying? The times cannot dictate your joy. The times cannot dictate your enjoyment. You may feel a certain way, but that's not defining your joy. If you don't get this, this is why you have people that are still miserable and calling themselves Christians, because they're still living off of how they feel and what they want, not off of what God says. The two verses in the New Testament where it says, take your thoughts captive, and the other one says to beat your body, that's exactly what we're doing. I'm telling my flesh, you don't have the final say. Do you understand? I'm going to be joyful. And yet, it's hard sometimes with how you feel because we're in a world right now where we cater to what we feel. But he already lets you know, oh yeah, you're going through some tough times. You're going through some dark times. God told everybody. So I don't care who you look at, they've gone and will go through some dark times. But God gave us what we need to deal through those times. But if I keep giving worth to the times, I'm going to miss out. Y'all get that? I give worth to the times, it's going to destroy me. Instead of just giving all worth to God. That's why he says everything to come is what? Meaningless. Meaningless. Don't give worth to the things. Don't give worth to the time. Don't give worth to the situation. It's nice when you have a moment. Have you ever done something with family? You go back and you remember it. You see pictures and you have that sentimental moment. Oh, that's nice. Don't give it too much worth. Because the same thing happens when you have the disastrous time, when people die, or you went through a horrendous time, when people went through some tough times, and you're trying not to remember. Both cases, remember, but stop giving it so much worth. Stop giving it so much worth. Because you're giving it so much worth, you're playing right into Satan's hands. Even though it may feel good, now you're always going to try to get that feel-good moment. And you're chasing after the wind, as the Bible says, instead of living for God. Enjoy the moment and move on. Does that make sense? Enjoy it and move on. It goes on to say in verse 9, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eye sees. Now, if we stop there, we say, see, I'm young and I want to do what I want, and God's given me everything I need to do it. Yes, but look what he says. He says, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. And he says this last line, and this is very important. He says, so then banish anxiety from your heart, cast off troubles from your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. What does he mean by that? Right now, young people, I've seen Christians give them a pass because they're young. Well, you know, they're young. We do it from when they're from kids. Well, they're kids. We don't discipline them because they're kids. When they become teenagers, you know how teenagers are. When they become young men or young women, well, you know, we give them these excuses instead of guiding them into wisdom. God is saying, yep, this is going to exist in the youth, but the youth better understand responsibility. Do you get it? You raise a child to be irresponsible, you're raising them to go straight to hell. Can I make that any clearer? And the Bible is showing that. Every human being has the potential or the path in order to live right. But if I keep allowing these excuses, that's on me. Do you understand this? So he's saying, I understand your youth. I understand, enjoy yourself, but understand you have to answer for it. Amen? Okay? One way or the other, you're going to have to answer for it. And that's what we have to make sure we realize and live recognizing that. Now, then he gives us something here. I think sometimes we tend to miss. He's saying, know God before the body starts giving away. He's letting us know, we're going to break this down, that your body is going to deteriorate. You know how the New Testament says, outwardly I'm deteriorating day by day, while inwardly I'm renewing. The old age and the effects of old age are going to happen. Those people who act like it's not, stop fooling yourselves. The Bible even breaks it down. He even does this in detail. In Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 1, he says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. So he's saying, during the time when you can, grow, learn in him. Watch this. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. When the quality of life starts going away is what he's saying. And then he breaks it down. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. He's talking about the arms and the hands. He's talking about how you see things and how things are going to look to you in the output of life. And when he talks about when the keepers of the house tremble, he's talking about the hands there. When your hands are not as steady as they were when you were younger. And the strong men stoop, talking about the legs, where now you're walking a little slower because you don't have the strength you used to have. My knees aren't like they used to be. And I know that. And it comes with old age. When the grinders, we know what those are our teeth, cease because they are few. And those looking through the window, and of course it's talking about our eyes, grow dim. You start losing vision. I remember when I had to get my glasses, and I was never farsighted. That's where you can't see near. Yeah, so I was never farsighted until doctor said, oh, you're going to be 40. This before 40, he said, your eyes are going to start going. And I'm sitting there going, how does he know this? It was almost like clockwork. I was reading, I'm like, you know how you start doing this thing where I used to watch people when I was younger do that. I'm going, why are they doing this? Why are they pushing it away, pulling the clothes? I don't understand. Then I start, you know what I mean? And now me and my wife walk around with a bottle. Can you read this? I can't read this. Can you read this? You know, praise God for phones. You could use magnification, but the eyes start going. And it showed us all this. When the doors to the streets are closed, and that's talking about the ears, the doors. In other words, you don't hear as well. You start saying, huh, a whole lot more. You know what I mean? And the sounds of the grinders fade. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. It's talking about sexual desire starts going away during that time. They're also talking about being, like I said, more of the crippledness and things of that sort during the time. It says, when men are afraid of heights and the dangers in the streets, once again, talking about the legs and how now it's even scary to walk sometimes because you could fall. When the almond tree blossoms, talking about gray hair, the grasshopper drags himself along, right? It lets us know, and once again, still talking about the legs and how the legs work and all that, and desire is no longer stirred. That's when it's talking about sexual desire. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. And I talk about when he dies. And then it goes on, it says, remember him. It comes back to it again. They say, okay, y'all, remember him before the silver cord is severed. That silver cord is talking about the nerves. When your nerves start going, okay, that's that thing on your spinal and your nerves start acting up and you either get pain or you start losing sensations. Or the golden bowl is broken. It's starting to talk about brain function, okay? When that starts going away. And it will, and it does, amen? Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring. That's talking about the heart. The pitcher is shattered. In other words, heart attack, when it can't hold the blood and do what it's supposed to. And then here's the last part, or the wheel broken at the well. That's the pumping of the blood throughout the entire body. It's saying, we're supposed to, before that stuff kick in, know God. Do you get where I'm coming from? Don't wait till then to try to know God because you're going to be struggling just with all of this. And God even shows us he knows all this. He recognizes this. Now, the Christian who knows this is going to go through this gracefully and enjoy it. The one who didn't, they're going to struggle through it. They're going to complain through it. They'll become miserable because they never learned in it. Does that make sense? You understand that? All right, and it's going to be a frustrating thing. And he makes it very clear in verse 7, he says, and the dust returns to the ground. We know what that means. It came where it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And he says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless. So what are you putting your value to is what he's saying. You understand? He's saying, this is the way life's going to be. This is where it's going. What are you adding value to? And he just told you, but this here is worthless. Don't invest in this life. So let's understand something first before we get the final answer to all of this. We get notes about Solomon. He's the vessel that is being used by God. But look at what they say about it in verse 9. It says, not only was the teacher wise, and we know about this if anybody knows the story of Solomon when he asked for wisdom and knowledge and God gave it to him. So we know it's a God-given thing. It says, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. What did that mean? And not only did he have it, he made sure he taught it. Some people can be wise and they just want to put you in awe. But you have those that I want to teach. Wisdom wants to teach. I want to guide people. You understand? I want to guide them in the right way. He goes on to say, he pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. So we know he wrote the book of Proverbs as well. The teacher searched to find just the right words. And what he wrote was upright and true. In other words, the words given by God, they were godly words. The things he wrote were from God. The words of the wise are like goads, their collections saying like firmly embedded nails. In other words, they are a foundation. They are fully dependable. They will be used in any and every situation. Do you understand? They'll be, as it says, goads, those things you lean upon as nails. They're locked into where they're at. So it's saying his words is the wisdom, not something you add. Stop using it as a supplement. Use it as the answer, is what he's saying here. Then look what he says, given by one shepherd, which is pointing towards Christ, given by God. Because remember, we're all just under shepherds, as the Bible shows. So it was all of this, Ecclesiastes, giving us a light, gave us the answer. But now watch what he says here in verse 12. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Now, you have people out there, and I know we're taught, and you get in awe, or you get, sometimes you're impressed, and you have those people that say, I studied many books, and I read all this, and blah, 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 and all this other nonsense. And I hear people that read the Bible, and, okay? And what he's saying is, be warned. Because God's not impressed with you because you read, you're well-read, or somebody there well-read. Well-read, the only good thing about well-read is you just get an understanding of how others think. But all you really need is the Bible. That's all you really need. Now, other books that help you understand the Bible, great. But when you read other stuff and listen to other stuff, he said, be warned. Because if they mislead you, it's your fault. God is not impressed with you going out there being this. Does that make sense? You better know what you're doing and make sure it stays firm in the Bible. Time after time, I'll hear people hear what the Bible says, and then, but I heard, oh, no, 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 no. Make sure what you heard is back in line with what the word says. If it's not, forget what you heard. You hear me? You understand? Make sure it's in line with God's word. And that's why he says, of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. In other words, there's going to be books throughout generation that are going to say different things that are going to be different. You know, there are people that are saying the book was written in another language, another book saying this happened here. They're saying, let me tell you about this time over there. Let me tell you this here. And there's many books, and people read them, and they get caught up in them. And, hey, guess what I heard? And guess what I read? And it says, much study, it makes the body weary. After a while, you're sitting there, what, do I really study the Bible? Am I missing this? Am I confused? And why are you doing that? Why? You got the word, read it. That's it. Stop getting caught up in all this other stuff. If you're one that can't read other things and realize that's all they are, stop reading other things to your safety. For those that can do it, by all means, do it. Do you understand? But never let it mislead you away from the word. So here's the answer. The meaning of life. But now, like the word said, we can't comprehend. So there is no meaning in this life, because this life is what? Meaningless. So when I say the meaning of life, it's the meaning of you in this life. Did y'all catch that? It's not this life. It's the meaning of you in this life. Think of it as you went through an obstacle course. Do you think back and go, what did that sand pit mean? No. The question is, how did you do in that sand pit? Did y'all catch that? You understand? We put too much into the course itself instead of how did you do in the course? Amen. All right. That's why now, even if we use playing a game of cards with someone shudder at, it wouldn't matter to a Christian, because it doesn't matter what hand you had, you played it to glorify God. See how that works? It's not God will always give me the winning hand. Now you're giving too much on the hand, not on God. While the Christian will go, I don't care what cards you give me, I'm going to glorify God. I don't care what life you give me, I'm going to glorify God. That's why it says in verse 13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. This covers all of the Bible in every case. It says, fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God, and they have to go in that order. They don't go in that order, because you have people who think they're following God, but we're not doing it fearfully. You catch what I'm saying? We're kind of doing what he says and patting ourselves on the back, only to hear God later to go, that's not what I told you to do. The ones who fear God You see them reading it again, asking questions, and they're doing it. And then they're doing it, and they're checking with God again. Why? Because I got to make sure I got to answer to my Father. I don't care what y'all are doing. I got to answer to my Father. Fearing God is that reverence that's going to keep you in the path of safety and not end up in his wrath. That's why he says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Even though it says duty, and they added, translators added that, that's why there's brackets around it. It means this is what defines you. When it comes down to it, God's not going to go, oh man, you should have had more money. Oh man, you shouldn't have felt like you did. Oh man, your relationships weren't like they were. Oh man, he's not going to say any of that. He's going to go, how did you do with what you got? And your answer is, I did what you told me to do, no matter what. Well done, my good and faithful servant. All these other excuses, well, it's that person you put in my life. It's that woman you gave me like Adam started with. It's all this other stuff. Well, if I would have had what they had, if I didn't have this, if I didn't have to go through this, wicked, lazy servant. We're putting too much value in the situation and not putting value in God despite the situation. Hopefully you are getting this. This is powerful and it means so much. You'll look at the situation and go, am I glorifying God? All that matters. He says in verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. This book is profound. This book is powerful when you allow it to be. The ones who are kind of going through it and read it just as a book, I can assure you we're reading it with some form of human either emotion or human intellect or allowing culture to mix in with it. We're just kind of going through it with a nah book. When we go into it with reverence, and every time I read this, it's just like, wow, it solidifies our purpose down here. It solidifies that, yep, I still have these weird feelings. I still go through these triggers. I still have these moments, but I'm still accountable to God. Absolutely nothing wrong with me saying, God, can I have this? And accepting it when he says no, and still glorifying God. I'm going to see some things that don't make sense, but I don't walk by sense. So it's not going to stop me from walking. You'll see where we're going? It's a great book, something used for us. And hopefully, as you were going through it, you were checking your life. And I can't stress enough, do not add to what God has given. Please continue to just stay on that narrow path that he has given to each and every one of us. Amen? All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, we thank you, dear Lord, for this book and for the entire word that you provided to us. Help us to stay within that word, being led by your spirit, not allowing ourselves to be distracted or confused by the things going on around us, by the sight, dear Lord, by our emotions, by our feelings, but to be always led by your spirit. We understand that we're going to feel a certain way. We understand certain things are going to do something to us in our flesh. So help us, dear Lord, to always be spiritual. We're going to walk and stay spiritual in everything that we do, but we know it's going to be a battle because you let us know that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So as we continue on, dear Lord, throughout the week, we ask you to bless us, to be a blessing to others. Help us to always keep our reverent minds on everything that we do and everything that we say. Let us not get caught up in our own comfort, our own wants, but let us always focus on how and if we're glorifying you in all that we do. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen. Thank you all.